In an apocalyptic scenario, where the world is ravaged by a succession of disasters, the Book of Revelation highlights a mysterious figure, the 144,000 sealed. These individuals are specifically mentioned in Revelation 7:4, where it describes that 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were marked with a divine seal, a guarantee of protection against the impending calamities. But who are these 144,000? Could they be among us today? Could we ourselves be part of this exclusive group? The answer lies in the interpretation of these seals as a symbol of divine preservation. This select group is supernaturally protected from future judgments, which include terrible cataclysms described in detail throughout John's revelations. The six seals revealed in Revelation bring with them a series of terrifying events. The appearance of false prophets, devastating wars, severe famine, and deadly epidemics are symbolized by the four horsemen of the apocalypse. To these horrors is added a religious inquisition that victimizes countless faithful Christians and disturbing astronomical phenomena that signal the beginning of a great tribulation. Jesus describes this tribulation as a period of great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again, Matthew 24:21. He warns that if those days were not cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, for the sake of these 144,000 sealed, the days of horror will be shortened, ensuring the survival of those who are precious in God's eyes. In the intricate unfolding of the events of Revelation, there is a moment of dramatic pause, a calm before the divine punishment is unleashed with all its force upon the earth. Revelation 7:1-3 describes a scenario where four angels stand at the four corners of the earth, holding back the winds, elements of power that can devastate land, sea, and air. They hold back the winds, preventing any breeze from disturbing the land, the sea, or the trees. In this interlude, a fifth angel emerges from the rising sun, bearing the seal of the living God. With celestial authority, he cries out in a loud voice to the four angels who had the power to harm the earth and the sea, instructing them to hold back their destructive forces. Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. The expression four corners of the earth evokes the universality of this divine action, indicating that the angels have influence over the entire world, reflecting the four cardinal points known in navigation and mapping. It is a moment of global tension where every detail of creation awaits God's next move. The seal that the angel carries and with which he marks the servants of God symbolizes ownership and protection. In New Testament culture, seals were often used by kings or owners to indicate authenticity and possession. Here, the seal not only authenticates, but also consecrates and protects God's chosen ones from the impending calamities. In the intricate fabric of symbols that compose the Book of Revelation, the seal emerges not only as a tool of authentication, but as a powerful emblem of divine protection and belonging. Derived from the Greek term meaning to stamp with a private mark, the word sealed carries a resonance of secrecy and security, traditionally used to preserve the integrity of information and ensure it remains hidden from unwanted eyes. In the Roman era, seals were commonly applied to crucial documents. A vivid example of this practice could be observed when a Roman centurion sealed a document intended for the exclusive review of his superior. Once broken, this seal indicated the violation of the content, revealing that the message had been exposed or altered. This secular practice of protecting confidential information offers us a perfect analogy to understand the seal of God described in Revelation. In the apocalyptic visions, the seal of God is mentioned as a protection during chaotic and destructive events. However, its application transcends the physical, operating in a spiritual realm. Revelation 1 introduces us to the revelation of Jesus Christ, a divine gift given to prepare his servants for what must soon take place. This revelation was conveyed through an angel to the Apostle John, who recorded everything he saw, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. From there, a series of essential messages unfold, highlighting the importance and significance of the seal of God. This seal serves as a badge, not only authenticating the true followers of God, but also consecrating them under his protection. Unlike earthly seals used for documentation, the seal of God marks the chosen ones with an indelible spiritual impression. It symbolizes an unbreakable bond with the divine, ensuring that even in the most dangerous and tumultuous times, these individuals remain under God's watch and care. In the vast panorama of Revelation, the spiritual seal represents much more than a mere mark. It is a powerful manifestation of faith and divine protection in a world ravaged by uncertainties and chaos. As we deepen our understanding of the meaning of the seal of God, its fundamental importance becomes evident. It is the divine promise of protection and a call to faithfulness. This seal is not just a symbol of identity. It is a guarantee that even in the most turbulent times, God recognizes and preserves those who are truly his. Ephesians 1:13-14 expands this notion by introducing the seal of the Holy Spirit given to those who accept the gospel of salvation. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This verse not only confirms the seal as an indication of salvation, but also as the assurance of the believer's eternal inheritance, marking them as God's definitive possession. In the book of Revelation, the importance of the seal is vividly manifested when God instructs that no harm be done to the earth, the sea, or the trees until his servants are sealed on their foreheads. This act of sealing is not only a form of protection, but also a declaration of divine ownership. Revelation 14:1 illustrates this truth by describing a vision of the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, accompanied by the 144,000 who have his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. This inscription is an indelible testimony of their identity and their unwavering connection to the divine. Within the revelations of Revelation, the 144,000 sealed occupy a prominent place. Although the text does not specify their tasks in detail, it is clear that they were chosen for a singular and essential purpose. The idea of being sealed, however, extends beyond this specific group, encompassing a larger heavenly operation in which God's servants are meticulously identified and protected. In the unfolding of these celestial events, two angels play crucial roles. While some hold back the forces of Satan and his emissaries, a particular angel is tasked with identifying the faithful servants of God. These servants are marked with the seal of God on their foreheads, a badge that not only distinguishes them, but also ensures their safety and protection in times of greatest adversity. This seal acts as a divine sign that sets them apart, ensuring that even during the most severe tribulation periods, they remain under God's guardianship. The structure of this sealing is meticulously detailed in Revelation 7:4-8, where the exact number of those sealed is revealed, 144,000, with 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. From Judah to Benjamin, each tribe contributes exactly 12,000 sealed individuals. This designation is not random. It reflects a divine order and precision that underscores the importance and specificity of the mission entrusted to these individuals. Beyond its protective function, the seal serves as a mark of redemption and preservation. These 144,000, clearly identified as ethnically Jewish, are chosen from all the tribes of the children of Israel, forming a distinctive group whose identification is both a matter of ancestry and spiritual fidelity. This choice underscores the continuity of the divine plan through the ages, linking promises made to Israel with the hopes and challenges of the end times. The fascinating theme of the 144,000 described in the Book of Revelation points to a specific group of individuals, rigorously divided among the 12 tribes of Israel, with 12,000 from each tribe. Curiously, in this arrangement, the tribe of Dan is notably absent. The tribal ancestry of these chosen ones is a mystery known only to God, reinforcing the sacred character and depth of the divine choice. The exclusion of the tribe of Dan prompts intense debates and various theories among scholars and theologians. Some suggest that Dan's omission may be linked to the association of this tribe with idolatrous practices, as suggested in Genesis 49:17, where Jacob prophesies that Dan will be a serpent by the roadside, a viper along the path that bites the horse's heels so that its rider falls backward. This image of betrayal and deception could symbolize the tribe's predisposition to behaviors that contradict divine commandments, culminating in its exclusion from the list of the sealed. Another interpretation, based on passages like Daniel 11:37, suggests that Dan could be related to the Antichrist due to his disregard for religious traditions and a tendency towards self-exaltation. However, these are mere speculations within a vast field of eschatological studies, and the true reason behind Dan's absence remains a topic open to interpretation. On the other hand, some see the mention of the 144,000 as a symbolic representation of divine mercy, perhaps reflecting those Jews who were spared during the destruction of Jerusalem. Alternatively, the modern interpretation expands this idea to include God's chosen people scattered around the world, suggesting that the 144,000 symbolize a facet of the global community of the faithful who persevere in faith despite adversity. The Lord knows those who belong to Him and promises to protect them during times of temptation and danger. The community of God's followers, symbolically represented by the 144,000, may seem small compared to the vastness of a world marked by evil, but their significance is immense and should not be underestimated. This group, besides being essential in society, is destined to grow and play a crucial role in spiritual history. By exploring the identity of the 144,000 mentioned in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, we can extract a clear vision based on several distinct facts. First, origin. The 144,000 are explicitly identified as descendants of the biblical patriarch Jacob, who was renamed Israel. These individuals are therefore referred to as the children of Israel or Israelites. Second, tribal affiliation. The tribal affiliation of each of the 144,000 is specified in detail in Revelation 7, 4, 8, highlighting the importance of heritage and the divine promise to each of the tribes. Third, divine protection. During the period of God's wrath, these chosen ones will be protected, and after this period they will triumph by meeting Jesus on Mount Zion, as described in Revelation 14, verse 1. Fourth, purity and dedication. In Revelation 14, verse 4, it is revealed that the 144,000 are celibate, not defiled by sexual relations, symbolizing their purity and total dedication to following the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Fifth, first fruits of redemption. They are described as being purchased and redeemed from among men as first fruits for God and the Lamb, emphasizing their holiness and the special role they play. Sixth, integrity and faithfulness. Revelation 14 verse 5 highlights the integrity and faithfulness of these individuals, characteristics that distinguish them as truly exemplary and worthy of divine protection. The process of sealing the 144,000, as described in Revelation, is more than just a physical mark. It is a divine mark of protection and ownership, symbolizing spiritual preservation during times of extreme tribulation. Each of the 12 tribes of Israel contributes exactly 12,000 members, which underscores the completeness and perfection of God's selection plan. These elements together illustrate that the 144,000 are not just an isolated group. They represent the beginning of a great spiritual harvest, a foretaste of an era of redemption and renewal. Their existence and mission are fundamental to understanding the continuity of divine purpose and the promise of salvation that permeates the biblical narrative. The number 144,000 carries profound symbolism within biblical numerology, where the number 12 is often associated with divine authority and perfect governance. The multiplication of the 12 tribes of Israel by 12,000 members each amplifies this concept of completeness and order, highlighting God's sovereignty and ability to preserve His chosen ones even amidst chaos and destruction. This vision is not just an element of faith, but also a comfort for believers, reaffirming that divine protection is assured for those who remain faithful. This scenario is set in direct contrast to the mark of the beast, as described in Revelation, delineating a clear distinction between the forces of good and evil, between the saving power of God and the corrupting influences of the world. The seal of God, mentioned in Revelation 7 verses 2 and 3, symbolizes more than physical protection. It represents divine ownership, a spiritual mark that identifies the faithful followers of God. This seal is indicative of a deep and personal commitment to divine teachings, serving as a spiritual safeguard in times of trial and judgment. Bearing the seal of God is a testament to a life dedicated to divine principles, a clear sign of being chosen by God. In contrast, the mark of the beast, explored in Revelation 13 verses 16 and 17, is a symbol of loyalty to evil forces, specifically to the figure known as the beast. This mark represents a conscious decision to deviate from God's ways, opting to follow secular power and practices that are often morally questionable or openly corrupt. The mark of the beast is not just a physical symbol, but an emblem of adherence and submission to principles and authorities that oppose divine values. The biblical passages of Revelation 16 verse 2 and 19 verse 20 present the mark of the beast as a distinctive symbol of those who choose to worship the beast. Revelation 13 verses 16 and 17 describe this symbol in precise detail. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, so that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. This mark, therefore, is an emblem of loyalty to the beast and serves as a means of total economic control. Only those who possess this mark, a special number engraved on a visible part of the body, hand or forehead, will be able to participate in the economy, buy or sell goods. The text indicates that all, under the dominion of the beast and his associate, will be forced to accept this mark to survive economically. The number associated with the beast, 666, is considered a coded name for the dictator, a riddle that many have tried to decipher over the centuries. However, the apocalyptic writing suggests that the true identity of this figure will be clear only when it manifests itself obviously. Any attempt to prematurely decode its meaning is considered speculation. What is certain, however, is that the beast will fall short of perfection, symbolized by the number 7. The Greek word keragma, used in Revelation to describe the mark, generally refers to a mark or engraving. Although it is not commonly associated with people, some interpret keragma as a symbol of a physical mark that will be required for economic participation. In the modern context, this idea is not impossible. The technology to implant marks or devices that allow economic transactions already exists and is in constant development. Electronic identification programs are being proposed and tested regularly, and the idea of a physical mark that allows people to buy and sell in the digital economy is no longer a distant fiction. A mark on the right hand or forehead could easily be used as a method of economic control in the not-too-distant future, reflecting the reality described in apocalyptic scriptures. This mark represents more than just a simple transactional tool. It is a symbol of loyalty and submission to an evil power, an act of idolatry that distances individuals from God. Accepting the mark of the beast is therefore an act of rejecting divine principles and allying with the corrupting power of the world. Satan, unable to create anything genuinely original, resorts to imitating divine acts, including marking his people. This satanic parody of God's mark does not surprise the faithful, as it is a distorted reflection of a sacred practice. Accepting the mark of the beast is an act of turning one's back on God, demonstrating a conscious choice to ally with forces opposed to the divine. It is not just a visible mark on the body, it symbolizes a life lived in opposition to divine precepts. The difference between the seal of God and the mark of the beast is profound and significant. The seal of God represents divine authority and spiritual protection, a spiritual mark that denotes faith and obedience to God. In contrast, the mark of the beast symbolizes submission to the corrupt power of the world, often interpreted as a physical sign of conformity with the forces of evil. The seal of God promises eternal salvation and alignment with the divine will, while the mark of the beast offers temporal gain at the cost of spiritual condemnation. This contrast is fundamental to understanding the spiritual battle between good and evil, where each individual must choose their side. An interesting parallel is found in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, where a protective seal is given to the righteous before the judgment of Jerusalem. In this chapter, six executioners are seen coming from the north, from where the Babylonians would come to destroy the idolaters. Those who opposed idolatry were sealed with a mark on their foreheads so they would not be killed. Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 4 says, "And the Lord said to him, pass through the city through all Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are being committed within it." The purpose of the seal of God is a central issue in apocalyptic visions and biblical scriptures. The revelation of Jesus Christ given to John by God is filled with mysteries about what is to come. The seal of God on the foreheads of the faithful symbolizes protection and divine choice, similar to how God protected his people in Egypt during the plagues. This seal is a guarantee that God will be with his chosen ones while the world faces its judgments. In Revelation chapter 7, John reveals the fate of the 144,000 sealed, but what does it mean for you to have the seal of God? It is crucial to understand the meaning of this seal and what it implies for believers. The seal of God provides three essential things, as described in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14. First, inclusion as believers in Christ. Being sealed by God means you are considered part of Christ. This implies that everything that belongs to Christ also belongs to you. The righteousness of Christ becomes your righteousness through this spiritual connection. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21 emphasize this. "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Second, divine protection. The seal of God is a mark of divine protection. In times of adversity and judgment, those who are sealed by God are guaranteed to be kept by him. Just as in Egypt, where the Israelites were protected from the plagues, the sealed in Revelation are preserved from the calamities that befall the world. Third, spiritual identity and ownership. Having the seal of God means you belong to God in a very special way. This seal is a mark of spiritual identity, indicating that you are one of God's chosen. This is not just an external emblem, but an internal truth that reflects a right relationship and acceptance before God. Through God's gracious goodness, the principle of inclusion with Christ can be applied to many aspects of our spiritual and practical life. It is not limited to righteousness, but encompasses strength, grace, love, compassion, provision, and the power of God. As believers, we have access to these divine attributes due to our union with Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This inclusion is not just a theoretical concept, but a practical reality that transforms our existence. The strength of Christ works in us and through us, enabling us to face challenges with courage and perseverance. God's grace surrounds us, offering continuous forgiveness and renewal. His love and compassion console us and propel us to love and care for others. Divine provision ensures that our needs are met, while God's power enables us to live according to His purposes. The seal of God also confers upon us a unique and precious identity. When we are sealed by God, our identity is found in Christ. This means that, in God's eyes, we are identified as His beloved children. This spiritual seal not only marks our belonging to God, but also distinguishes us in the spiritual realm. Satan, upon recognizing this seal, knows that we belong to God and that we are protected by Him. The identity found in Christ is deep and transformative. When God looks at you, He sees a person sealed with the Holy Spirit, a guarantee that you belong to Him. This divine mark is a sign of your eternal acceptance, love, and protection. You are considered part of God's family, with all the rights and privileges that this position offers. Satan, recognizing that you belong to God because of the divine seal, incessantly tries to attack and deceive you into doubting your identity in Christ. However, you can be assured that you are sealed and protected in Christ, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Therefore, continue to live in the truth of your identity in Christ, allowing God's love and grace to guide your daily life. It is important to note that Satan, the master imitator, has created a mark that imitates the mark of God on the 144,000 chosen. Revelation chapter 13, verses 15 to 17, describe how Satan devises a method to identify those who belong to him, creating a seal. This contrast highlights the importance of understanding what the seal of God means for those living in the last days. The seal of God not only identifies you as belonging to Him, but also defines your purpose to serve as His witness, similar to the 144,000 sealed in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 14, after the sealing of the 144,000, John describes a vision of a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb," and to "This is a moment of triumph and worship, where the angels, the 24 elders, and the four living creatures prostrate themselves before the throne, worshipping God and proclaiming, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." One of the elders explains to John that these people dressed in white are those who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, symbolizing justification and purification through the atoning sacrifice of Christ. The songs of praise in this scene highlight the salvation of a great remnant of Jews and God's faithfulness amidst destruction and unfaithfulness. These saints, as they stand before the throne and the Lamb, represent the posture of worship and gratitude of all the faithful. In our religious practice, we should always consider ourselves in the special presence of God, drawing near to Him through Christ, our mediator. Without Christ, sinners could not approach the throne of God. The white robes and palm branches in the hands of these worshippers symbolize their justification and spiritual victory. Thus, the seal of God is not only a mark of protection, but also a symbol of our redemption, identity, and purpose in Christ, calling us to live lives that reflect His glory and grace in all that we do. the faithful servants of God, as they fight the good fight of faith and complete their journey, will be celebrated in triumph, appearing in glory. Their voices will rise in high praise, proclaiming, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This exaltation can be seen as a hosanna, expressing wishes for success for God's work and Christ's interest in the church and the world, or as a hallelujah, praising God and the Lamb for the great salvation they have provided. In this praise, both the Father and the Son are united. The Father conceived salvation, and the Son purchased it. And those who enjoy this salvation must and will bless the Lord and the Lamb with fervor and public gratitude. The angels, serving before the throne of God, join the saints in praise. Their posture is one of extreme humility and reverence, falling face down before the throne. These excellent beings, who have never sinned and are constantly in the divine presence, demonstrate profound respect, covering their faces and prostrating themselves before the Lord. If these celestial creatures show such reverence, how much more should we, frail and insignificant human beings, approach God with humility and deep respect? In our communications with God, we should exhibit a reverential spirit and a humble attitude. Prostrating before God is a sign of our reverence and recognition of His majesty. In heaven, there is perfect harmony between angels and saints. The angels, agreeing with the saints' praises, add their own worship, saying, "Amen." They add blessings, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and strength to our God forever, proclaiming together, "Amen." The glorious attributes of God, His wisdom, power, and strength, are acknowledged and exalted by all celestial beings. The divine perfections of God are worthy of eternal blessings, praise, and glorification. This celestial agreement is confirmed with a resounding "Amen." As we observe worship in heaven, we should begin to prepare our hearts for such work, practicing frequently and eagerly awaiting the moment when our praises and happiness will be perfected in the divine presence. The heavenly scene highlights the importance of being sealed by God. This seal or mark is not just a symbol, it has a profound and urgent purpose, especially as we see the day of Christ's coming approaching. Have you reflected on the purpose of the seal that God has placed on you? Something as simple as a mark can contain deep and lasting meaning. God's seal identifies and legitimizes you as one of His chosen ones. The hope of heaven is yours because you have been marked and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. This seal is a call to be a witness for God throughout the world. It was the last instruction Jesus gave to His followers before ascending to heaven and should be the central focus of our lives until His return. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." These passages indicate that the 144,000 will be individuals who survive the Great Tribulation. They are not just faithful saints of past ages, but a dedicated people who remain spiritually pure. The spiritual state of the 144,000 is one of unwavering faithfulness to God. Described as servants of God, they follow the Lamb wherever He goes, demonstrating complete devotion and a life dedicated to divine service. The book of Revelation describes those who remain faithful to God as individuals who keep His commandments. Revelation 12:17 and 14:12 highlight the importance of obeying God. In the final chapter, it is stated, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, follow His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates." Revelation 22:14. Today, many churches and groups claim that their members, or a portion of them, constitute the 144,000. However, we should not rely solely on these human claims. It is crucial to consider what the Bible says about the timing of when God's church members are sealed compared to when the 144,000 will be sealed. The church today is sealed with the Holy Spirit. Paul described the church members in Ephesus in Ephesians 1:13. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. This seal, promised by Christ, identifies believers as belonging to God and protected by him. Later, Paul warns, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Ephesians 4:30. Writing to the church members in Corinth, Paul speaks of Jesus Christ, who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 1:22. This seal of the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of God's promise, marking believers as his and assuring them of eternal life. In Romans 8:14, 16, we read that all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This sealing occurs at baptism when someone receives the Holy Spirit after repenting of their sins. Acts 19:6 says, "And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying." An important distinction is that the members of the true Church of God are sealed by him for eternal life by receiving and following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is not limited only to the 144,000. It is vital to understand that salvation is available to individuals of all races and nations. While the people of Israel are highly valued by God, beyond the 144,000 mentioned in the Bible, there will be an innumerable multitude of righteous ones who will stand before God in white robes. Revelation 7, 9 and Revelation 3, 4, 5 state that those who have not soiled their garments will walk with Christ, dressed in white, for they are worthy. Those who overcome the world, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, will be clothed in white garments, and their names will never be blotted out of the book of life. Christ will confess and openly acknowledge their names before the Father and his angels, affirming that they are his. This great multitude will consist of people from every tribe, nation, people, and language, standing before Christ, the Lamb. When asked about the origin of these people, the answer is that these are the ones coming out of the Great Tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They will serve before the throne of God because of their response to him. What will cause so many people to turn to God during the tribulation? The Bible reveals that two representatives of God, called the two witnesses, will prophesy in God's name for 3.5 years, as described in Revelation 11, 3. Throughout the turmoil and hardships of the tribulation, the ministry of these servants of God will lead many to become sons and daughters of God's eternal family. These people will come from both the 144,000 and the innumerable multitude. After this period, the Bible speaks of one of the worst judgments, the seven trumpets. These trumpets introduce a series of apocalyptic events that bring severe judgments upon the earth. These events serve as a final call to repentance and faithfulness, highlighting the urgency of remaining faithful to God in times of trial. As we await these events, we are called to live in faithfulness, guided by the Holy Spirit, knowing that we are sealed by God and included in his promise of eternal life. This seal gives us the assurance that, regardless of the tribulations we face, we are recognized as sons and daughters of God, destined to share eternal glory with him.